I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, May 6th. Candidates are already lining up for this year's Quincy City election. Nomination papers were available beginning yesterday, and several candidates have already indicated they will run for office. Emily Lebo and Courtney Pertios have both pulled papers to run for re-election to the school committee, and Doug Guttrow has announced his intentions to run again. Elizabeth Speakman will also be a school committee candidate. For city council so far, Steve Pertios has pulled papers to run for Ward 2 councilor. Pertios is Courtney's husband. Ward 3 councilor Ian Kane, councilor at large Noel DeBona, and Ward 6 councilor William Harris have also taken out papers to run for re-election. Nomination papers with the signatures of 50 registered Quincy voters are due in the city clerk's office by July 27th. There is no mayoral race this year. A preliminary election, if needed, would be held on September 14th. The final election is on November 2nd. That Weymouth man accused of stabbing three people outside a Quincy tavern will remain behind bars following a dangerousness hearing. 24-year-old Tyler McClain was deemed dangerous by Judge Mark Coven following the hearing at Quincy District Court yesterday. McClain is due back in court on June 2nd for a probable cause hearing. Police had charged McClain with stabbing three 21-year-old men outside Rags Tavern on Washington Street in the early morning hours of April 25th. One of the men was taken to Boston Medical Center in serious condition, the two others to South Shore Hospital. McClain was charged with three counts of attempted murder. He has pleaded not guilty and will remain held without bail pending his next court date. Truck drivers and mechanics for Shaw's Supermarkets are back on the job in New England as the Teamsters and the company prepare to return to the bargaining table today. The drivers based at a warehouse in Wells, Maine, returned to work yesterday, delivering grocery staples to more than 100 Shaw's and Star Market grocery stores across the region. The two-day work stoppage caused supply disruptions that forced the grocer to resume negotiations, according to Brett Miller, president of Teamsters Local 340 in South Portland, Maine. The 70 drivers and mechanics represented by the Teamsters went on strike on Monday. The negotiations were scheduled for today at the Union Hall in South Portland. The drivers based in Wells and mechanics based in Scarborough have been without a contract since October. The strike did not affect drivers who deliver fruit, vegetables, and refrigerated items from a facility in Methuen. Starting Monday, visitors at the Massachusetts vaccination super sites can walk in without an appointment, with the exception of Gillette Stadium. The walk-up option will make it easier for people to access vaccines, according to Governor Baker. He made the announcement after touring the walk-up clinic at the Encore Casino in Everett, which he said was a good example of how convenience helps draw people in. It's part of the state's effort to get 4 million people fully vaccinated by the beginning of June. Children could help reach that goal, with the federal government now poised to approve Pfizer for kids 12 and older. Companies expected to file for emergency use on children as young as 2 this fall. Vaccinating children has drawn controversy in the past, with a crowd of protesters descending on the statehouse last summer after the announcement that flu shots would be required for all students. Yesterday, Governor Baker said he's holding off on whether he would make COVID-19 vaccinations mandatory for school. With the demand for shots easing, CVS is now opening COVID-19 vaccine appointments to walk-in patients in Massachusetts. The move comes after President Biden directed all pharmacies in the federal government's vaccine distribution partnership to begin providing walk-in hours. CVS says walk-in appointments will be available at its 389 vaccine-carrying locations in Massachusetts, roughly 94% of all CVSs in the state, meaning that people will be able to enter the pharmacy without an appointment, fill out the necessary forms, and get a shot within a relatively short period of time. Same-day scheduling, including appointments as soon as an hour from time of scheduling, also remain available on the CVS website. After months of residents scooping up the scarce number of appointments nearly as quickly as available, the state's vaxfinder.mass.gov website now shows tens of thousands of first dose appointments available through next week at mass vaccination sites, pharmacies, community centers, and other providers. With over 70% of the eligible population in Massachusetts at least partially vaccinated, the governor's administration announced that the state would enter a new phase of the rollout this week, pivoting from high-efficiency mass vaccination sites toward smaller local providers. A former top executive at a nearly 140-year-old shoe manufacturer in Massachusetts pleaded guilty to embezzling $30 million from the company and spending it on luxury items and travel for himself and another person, according to federal prosecutors. 64-year-old Richard Hajar, former chief financial officer of Alden Shoe Company, admitted to wire fraud, unlawful monetary transactions, and filing a false tax return. He faces more than 30 years in prison at sentencing on September 15th. Hajar from Duxbury embezzled the money from 2011 until he was fired in 2019 by writing checks to himself from company bank accounts and transferring funds from company accounts to his personal accounts and to another person. He used some of the money to buy jewelry, including a $158,000 diamond ring, a New York City condo, and private flights to the Caribbean. He faced the tax charge because he failed to report the proceeds of his embezzlement as income on his tax returns, thereby failing to pay about $5 million in taxes to the IRS. The Middleborough-based Alden Shoe Company, which makes high-end dress shoes and other footwear, was founded in 1884. Alden has filed a separate complaint in state superior court in an attempt to recover some of the money. Well, infections in India hitting another grim daily record today as demand for medical oxygen jumped sevenfold, and the government denied reports that it was slow in distributing life-saving supplies from abroad. The number of new confirmed cases breached 400,000 for the second time since the devastating surge began last month. The cases pushed India's tally to more than 21 million. The health ministry also reported almost 4,000 new deaths in the past 24 hours, bringing the total to over 230,000, and experts believe both figures are an undercount. Facebook's oversight board yesterday upheld the company's ban of former President Trump, also had some harsh words for its corporate sponsor, Facebook, in applying a vague, standardless penalty and then referring the case to the board to resolve. They said Facebook seeks to avoid its responsibilities. Critics are not convinced that the board's decision represents a triumph of accountability. Many, in fact, see its narrow focus on one-off content issues as a distraction from deeper problems such as Facebook's massive power, its shadowy algorithms that can amplify hate and misinformation, and more serious and complicated questions about government regulation. President Biden has met his goal of having most elementary and middle schools open for full in-person learning in his first 100 days, according to new data. But the share of students choosing to return has continued to lag far behind. A survey conducted in March by the Education Department and released today found that 54% of public schools below high school were offering full-time classroom learning to any student who wanted it. It marks progress since January, when that figure was 46%. Many Broadway productions are scrambling to resume ticket sales in the coming days to welcome theater goers this fall, after New York City and state leaders have greenlit a reopening of the Great White Way at full capacity by mid-September. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said Broadway theaters can reopen September 14th and will be allowed to decide their own entry requirements, like whether people must prove they've been vaccinated to attend a show. Selling tickets will allow theaters to gauge interest before the stages open, according to the city's budget director. A check of business news this morning. Stocks are mixed. The Dow is up 97 points. The NASDAQ fell 51. The S&P added 2. Asian stocks mostly higher on cautious optimism that upcoming company earnings reports will reflect a gradual recovery from the damage of the pandemic. The dollar was higher. The euro is down. Oil at $66 a barrel. In sports, Tigers beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings. Series will wrap up in Fenway at 1:10 this afternoon. Celtics beat the Magic 132-96. They'll be in Chicago tomorrow night at 7:30. Bruins are home tonight at 7 against the Rangers. Forecast from the National Weather Service. Sunny, breezy, and warmer today. Highs in the low 60s. For tonight, partly cloudy, low 46. Clouds and sun tomorrow at a high 57. Maybe an afternoon shower on Saturday, high of 55. And Sunday, partly sunny and milder, high Sunday in the mid-60s. For the boater, waves a couple of feet. Busy northwest wind at 25 knots. High tide, 8:22 a.m. and 9 p.m. Sunrise at 5:32, set at 7:49. So again, sunny, breezy, and in the low 60s today. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Thursday, May 6th.